The tragic discovery of 39 bodies in a truck in Essex yesterday highlighted the lengths undocumented migrants will go to in order to reach the UK and the promise of a better life. But how can a lorry container travel right across Europe to the UK with dozens of people inside and not be flagged? Now, to get a handle on this, I'm joined on the line by the president of the Irish Road Haulage Association, Verona Murphy. Verona, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is a tragedy, and a tragedy because they did not make it to their intended destination alive. But one suspects that many do make this dangerous crossing, perhaps not in a refrigerated container, but they do make it and then are dispersed in the UK. How much of a problem is this for Irish truckers?
Well, particularly in the last 5 years, it's always been a problem, but the last 5 years, it's absolutely been heinous. For our drivers, if they only stop to take a toilet break, they've got to come out and inspect thoroughly underneath the carriage of the trailer, inside the trailer, the pallet carrier, if there is one, the spare tyre carrier, all places where migrants will fit or possibly decide that it's a safe place to get to the UK. Calais, particularly, the UK border force has a juxtaposed position in that they are positioned there as an authority to inspect so that the migrants can't enter the UK. It is commonplace for the French authorities to inspect trailers and loads and find nothing and to move 400 yards to the UK juxtaposed position where the migrants can be found, and unfortunately a very large fine ensues. Migrant fines are 2,000 UK sterling per head to the driver and to the operator. So each migrant that's found by the UK Border Force can cost the operator £4,000 sterling.
Explain to me, though, in that gap, the 400-metre gap, is it that the French, first of all, are just not doing their job thoroughly and therefore not finding the migrants, or do they hop on in the 400-metre gap between the two inspections?
It's both. I mean, obviously, ports are very vast areas and security is a huge issue. I recently travelled to Le Havre port, which is an area of some 10,000 hectares. The idea was that we would open a new route from Le Havre to Rosslare post-Brexit so that we can avoid the customs issues. But they have their own police force. They have in excess of 130 port officers. And I will be meeting Minister Flanagan later today to represent that. That's what needs to happen to safeguard a tragedy of this magnitude happening here in Ireland. The ports of Belgium and France absolutely need to up their game in relation to security. The report is that this was a dropped trailer in the port of Zeebruges. It's very, very possible and almost likely that the migrants entered the trailer in the port when the trailer was dropped to be left for the shipping company to put on the trailer.
Now, we don't know the details of all of this yet, but was the trailer supposed to be containing goods, and did it contain goods, and were the migrants crammed in with the goods that were being transported?
We don't know the detail, but in our everyday work that we do, this is what would happen. You know, 39 is a very large number of migrants, but much of the time they're very small people just due to the nature of where they're coming from. But often you will find multiples of humans trying to traffic themselves into the UK without help. But 39 people is if a fridge was being used in the realm of frozen food or temperature control at all, the likelihood is that they would suffocate from the heat or die from the cold. But if the fridge is stopped from running its temperature, then it's completely sealed as a unit. There is no airflow. There are no vents open because when the motor is stopped, the vents close automatically. And the likelihood is that the people would suffocate. There's no air circulating in the container at that stage.
So they may have died from the cold, literally frozen to death if the refrigerator was running, and otherwise they will have suffocated from lack of oxygen.
Well, I think the reality is containers are meant for goods, regardless of whether they're iron containers, refrigerated. They're not for people. And if there is goods in the trailer also, it gives limited circulation for anything. And I think we have to represent the security issue that's at hand here. I think the RSA, we have ourselves made a complaint, the Irish Road Haulage Association, to the Public Accounts Committee in relation to the policing of by the RSA of foreign registered vehicles on the island of Ireland. We would urge the Public Accounts Committee to now take that complaint very seriously and treat it as a matter of urgency. The fact, you know, that they go on policed virtually on this island is not good for anybody.
Now, going back to the refrigerated container, when it's on the dockside, how is the refrigeration unit powered if it's, you know, if you've got frozen food or chilled foods, fresh foods that have to be kept at a temperature, how is that powered in the absence of the truck?
The motor, it's not powered by the truck at all. It's an independent motor. It's a refrigerated unit, as we would call it, generally developed to run on a diesel engine, and it's set just through a clock and a mechanism, just like you would set your heat at home, but it runs independently of the truck. It has its own fuel tank generally attached to the trailer. So, you know, there are a multitude of manufacturers who make these units, and they're independent of the truck always. So it's attached, the unit itself, the cooling unit or the temperature okay. unit is attached to the trailer.
Okay, so this is important. It means that when there is a delay at dockside, that the container still manages to keep the food fresh, if that's what is contained therein. It was just something that I didn't understand, and now I do. Now, the question of the Bulgarian registration of the truck owned by a Monaghan company, explain why a company would do such a thing, you know, register a Scania truck, which could be purchased in Ireland, could be purchased anywhere in the EU. Why would it be registered in Bulgaria? What's the advantage?
The advantage is that the operating costs in those countries are much lower than that here in Ireland. Many Irish operators would have set up businesses in Eastern Bloc countries such as Bulgaria to attain cheaper insurance. There's no minimum wage the way there is here. There's no policing of, like the WRC. They certainly, you know, here when they come back to Ireland, what has been seen as an added advantage is that the RSA don't police them either. So there are many legitimate entities, I must say, because at the end of the day, it's a free market, single market. You can have companies set up that are just sister companies, but we do have an issue with letterbox companies across Europe, whereby they're set up just to take advantage of either the tax regime or the lack of enforcement in different areas. It's something that we have, as I say, represented year on year. There's a growing population here in Ireland. There's we would estimate 30% of foreign registered vehicles now on Irish roads that are not being policed in the same fashion as Irish registered vehicles. So there's a double whammy for the Irish operator. He's being over-enforced and his costs are increasing, while his counterpart beside him, it has no enforcement and no costs. It's reported that this truck has not returned to Bulgaria for 2 years. That would raise serious questions about its roadworthiness. Who's policing it? Is it roadworthy? Has it been tested? Has it been stopped by the authorities? And the likelihood is that the answer to all those questions is no.
Now, I can understand.
So we would, yeah.
Yeah, I can understand why someone would buy a truck in mainland Europe, because, you know, you'd buy a left-hand drive truck. Because that's where most of your travelling is happening and so on. But just to give us a handle on the costs, I mean, what would insurance be if you insured it in Ireland versus insuring it in Bulgaria?
Well, we have found, and our surveys have found, when we went to DG Competition, that at that time, the cost of insuring in Eastern Bloc countries was two-thirds less than it would be here in Ireland. And that's significant. You're talking thousands of pounds. If you have 100 trucks, you're talking about in the magnitude of €500,000 at times in savings. So there's many, many factors that relate to cost.
So in terms of your members, Verona, how many of your members would be running operations like this one where the trucks are registered somewhere else?
our members have to hold an Irish operator's licence, Pat, but we would assume that some of them have counter operations, sister operations across in Eastern Bloc countries. Many of them operate from the UK also and from Northern France. We don't have a difficulty. It's a legitimate operation if it's a legitimate operation and if it's policed properly. That's all we ask for, is a level playing field. And I think if you come back, unfortunately, to the incident that has happened yesterday in Essex, nothing would, for us, everything that happened would be something we would do on a daily basis. Unfortunately, it's a security issue, and all parts of policing, including the RSA, contribute to preventing this.
What's your evidence that the RSA, you know, doesn't check foreign registered trucks in the way they would other trucks? Because everyone in Europe is subject to the tachograph regulations and so on. They can only drive for so many hours. Are you saying when they see a strange looking plate, they just don't bother?
Correct, because we have an issue here that we have no mechanism in Ireland of which to actually fine, and you can't serve an Irish summons outside the state beyond Northern Ireland. So there is no way. We don't have an on-the-spot fine system for dealing with these vehicles. And in that instance, the RSA just generally waved them on, and the evidence comes from our own individuals who are being caught up in RSA checkpoints and finding that they're the only ones being inspected.
And do you think it's to do with language? They see a Bulgarian registered truck, even though it has a tricolour right across the windscreen, and they think, oh, I'm going to have to talk Bulgarian to some fella here. I won't bother. Sure, there's an Irish trucker who's bound to speak English. Sure, we'll talk to him. Is it as simple as that?
That may be no, it's not as simple as that for us. That may be their mindset. Many of the Irish operators have foreign nationals working for them. And if you look across Europe, not every driver is going to speak French, and there isn't the same thing doesn't happen as an Irish operator. I'm enforced on across Europe in the same fashion as the national operator. It's just in Ireland. We can't even get proper figures from the RSA in relation to how many foreign registered vehicles are actually positioned here in Ireland. There are rules, as I said. It is not illegal to do and set up in a foreign country, but it is not policed, and that's the issue that we have for the safety of the roads in Ireland.
Some of the comments coming in, John explains to me, a fridge trailer has an independent unit, like Verona said, but a fridge container will be plugged in at quayside and likewise on the vessel. This would be one of those containers that is loaded onto a flatbed truck or loaded onto a ship.
Well, depending on the length of the ship, so if you go from Rosslare to Cherbourg and you have a perishable load, yes, it's plugged in because it's on electric as opposed to
diesel,
emissions
yeah.
and fumes coming into the atmosphere. So they're plugged in. But if you're just going from Dover to Calais or Calais to Dover, it doesn't happen that way. The Zeebrugge per fleet is about an 8-hour sailing. It may well have been plugged in, which could maintain either the minus 25 or plus 25 temperature.
This one, do drivers know what's in their trucks or are they the units all sealed so drivers don't have access?
No, generally a driver will be aware from his paperwork what he's carrying. He doesn't always have access to the loading bays because there's health and safety issues, security issues, but generally his paperwork identifies his cargo.
But does he have the ability, when stopped, to open the container for someone? That's the point.
If the goods are being carried under seal, that seal is not supposed to be removed by anybody, but an enforcement agency will generally break the seal if they see fit, and they will inspect, and then they will record on the paperwork that they broke the seal and stamp the paperwork. From our own perspective, a container like yesterday, we would have locking mechanisms that are quite, you know, we try and have them in a way that they cannot be infiltrated, but quite often we've had issues where the hinges have been removed from the doors, and many operators now actually weld the hinges of the doors to prevent them from being removed. This is big business. Trafficking is big business, and there is huge money involved. And I think the migrant trafficking is big business, but the migrants themselves in an individual capacity will just try anything. They're okay. Desperate.
Some of the comments, and these are taking a line which is a bit hostile to the migrants. It might sound cold, but these unfortunate people were illegal migrants. The EU needs to create a border, EU border control and a secure frontier. This is one of the reasons why the UK wants out of the EU. That's from Mark in Galway. Another one, nobody likes to see people dying, but remember these people paid traffickers to illegally enter the UK, so they were themselves complicit in this criminal action. Government needs to take the gloves off and put criminals like these out of business. That's according to Peter. Not as easily done as said, I think. And the question, though, Verona, is with Brexit, presumably the migrants will still want to get into the UK because, I mean, when you're in northern France or Belgium, you're already in the EU. But, you know, the UK part of the EU, they still want to get to the UK for whatever reasons. So I'm thinking, is it going to make things more complex? They get into Ireland and then, of course, with the land border, the seamless border, they're up in the north. Goods will be checked with this new border down the Irish Sea. But what about people?
Well, look at Pat, we have our own common travel area, and yet we have migration officers stationed in Dublin and Rosslare, and it's the direct ferry services that they check mainly, and they're quite good and proficient at it. Like, the UK have systems in place. For instance, we pay the £10 sterling road charge. You can go on yourself to that system, put a registration in, and it will tell you whether a levy has been paid for that vehicle, and it will tell you the direction the vehicle is going and when it's entering the UK. That's a significant fault. We've reported it. We have said that the migrant population can check the traffic, whether they're in France, whether they're in Belgium, and what port and basically where it's going. They have a significant issue themselves with their security. And this all boils down to security. If Le Havre port with 130 officers doesn't have a migrant issue, I think in essence that says that Irish authorities and the government, and I will be representing to Minister Flanagan, that this is where we need to come from. To safeguard our own ports, we have to ensure that the counterparts who are landing in Rosslare and Dublin have to have sufficient security measures in place to prevent any tragedy of this magnitude happening here in Ireland.
Verona Murphy, President of the Irish Road Haulers Association, thank you very much for joining us. Coming up next,